Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
You don't indeed. It is 20 minutes past the hour of 7. I'm Howard Feldman. A very good morning to you. As I mentioned earlier, there's been a lot of discussion around being genetically Jewish. And there was this article in The Guardian that I thought was particularly interesting. How do we figure this out? Rabbi Yossi Chaikin, he's the rabbi at the Oxford Synagogue Center. He's the chairman of the South African Rabbinic Association. He joins us this morning. Thank you for doing so. How are you?
Thank God. Well, good morning, Howard and Moed Tov. And I must point to the irony of the hashtag, you don't have to be Jewish, just before you started this conversation.
Absolutely right. And if you want to know the history of that one, I thought it's fascinating because what we realized is that a significant number of our listeners, in fact, aren't Jewish. And every time somebody would message us, they'd say, I'm not a Jewish listener, but. And then I said, you know, you don't need to drop the but. You know, hashtag, you don't have to be Jewish. You can listen to us even if you're not Jewish. It's actually okay, and we don't need to qualify any of our listeners. So that was the history, in fact, of the hashtag. But it is fascinating because it's become quite confusing now, where we have this concept of genetically Jewish versus not. I mean, we have always had it because we've always had the line coming through the maternal line, so it's always been a thing. But how do we start to deal with this DNA business now?
So the definition, halachic definition of Jewish is, as you mentioned, a matrilineal descent, a Jewish mother, a Jewish grandmother going all the way back, or of course a conversion to Judaism, which to be halachically acceptable according to Orthodox standards is one that is halachically valid conversion. That does not have anything to do with genetics. Now, of course, because you know Jews have lived together, been ostracized by other groups, married in within their own, you know, for centuries and centuries and centuries, there definitely is a Jewish gene. But the definition of who is Jewish is not linked in any way with genes. We have a very strong view that somebody who converts to Judaism is accepted as one of our own in every respect. And that person would not necessarily look Jewish or, you know, or have Jewish genes if taken to a genetics lab.
So, and in fact, sorry, just to interrupt, there's even a prohibition of reminding people and referring to it once somebody has converted, to referring to their past.
Indeed. So the definition of genetically Jewish is in that sense almost irrelevant. What becomes very important here is that, particularly in Israel, but all over the world, there are many people who, you know, go as Jews, have registered as Jewish on their documents, but halachically may not be Jewish because of the influx of immigrants, particularly from the former Soviet Union, huge influx coming through now from Ukraine and all over the world. And because the definition of who we're going to accept as, you know, belonging in Israel through a law of return and open our arms and embrace in the country is far wider than halachically Jewish. That means a lot of people arrive in Israel, possibly not halachically Jewish, and are not able to prove that in any way. You know, I had a young woman who came to me for marriage some years ago, and you know, the standard question is, well, can you bring me your parents' ketubah? Well, it turns out that the parents were both married in the former Soviet Union, and as a mother said to me, my father was a Communist Party member, and if I had gotten married in the shul, my father would have lost his job and would have all ended up, you know, being who knows what. So there was nothing at all. You know, they spoke Jewish. In fact, in the end, we interviewed the grandmother who spoke a fluent Yiddish, and that, you know, that was kind of
enough. Absolutely. Bring out the grandmother if all else fails. Let her cook your Friday night meal.
What do we do, you know, when people have got no documents, no evidence, no way, you know, no paper trail to actually establish their Jewishness? And so thank God there is DNA which can be relied on. not necessarily as a first port of call. I wouldn't say to somebody, you're not Jewish because you haven't got
a DNA.
You know, it's like, you know, if I were to go for a DNA test today, well, who knows? Maybe I had a non-Jewish grandparent somewhere back who converted and that DNA is carried down. So that, one would never rule out somebody as not being Jewish simply because they do not have Jewish genes. But we're relying on that now, and it's an amazing breakthrough that halakha, Jewish law, allows, you know, is leaning on genetic testing, DNA, and so forth, and other modern advances to assist us in these tricky areas. You know, years ago, the question of whether one could identify human remains, you know, thanks to DNA, sadly, September 11, there were so many unrecognizable bodies, and so many women who didn't know if their husbands had indeed died or disappeared, and had to prove that in order to be able to remarry. And so DNA became a very, very important factor to lean on, and there was huge halachic debate. There's been, and this is more of quaint interest than anything else, the Cohen gene.
I was going to ask you about that. Right? It's always interesting, yeah.
And again, one could never prove that somebody is a Cohen simply because they have that gene, even though it's a gene that's carried on the Y chromosome, which means it's patrilineal all the way. So that could possibly prove that their great-great-grandfather was a Kohen, but their mother, for example, may not have been Jewish. And I don't know many... Sorry, you don't have to be Jewish for Kohanim.
You do have to be Jewish to be a Kohen, right.
Indeed. So it's interesting. It's amazing research. And they found tribes here in southern Africa where that gene is prevalent, and that gives rise to the possibility that they may have been from the lost tribes. But doesn't in any way prove that. We can't.
Right.
Now, with this new research on DNA, the mitochondrial DNA, which is only transmitted mother to mother, only through the mother, there is a way of actually looking for a matrilineal genetic marker. And that's amazingly important in terms of halachic Jewishness. And the fact that halachic authorities are now allowing that as a support to accept somebody's Jewishness is an absolutely amazing development. And I did read through the article in the Guardian, and there's a bit of cynicism there. We're not trying in any way to ostracize, Jews from Russian descent or Russian-speaking people and saying, you have to prove that
you're... Well, you have to take the article from whence it comes. It's in the Guardian, so you have to know that there's always going to be quite a left anti-religious, it's not only anti-Jewish, but anti-religious stance and cynicism around it. But the problem is when you start going the genetic route, where we've got certainly a huge, huge problem more in America than anywhere else, where we have this idea that, well, I can identify with being whatever I want to be, where the lines get more and more blurred. And it is important to maintain whether it is politically seen as being politically correct or not, it is important to maintain a line and clarity as to whether somebody is Jewish or not. And it doesn't mean they can't become Jewish, but either somebody is or they aren't, really. Or is my view maybe a little simplistic?
Halachically, rabbinically, I think 100% either somebody is Jewish or isn't Jewish, or whether they have Jewish genes or not, is irrelevant, as I said. Somebody who is halachically Jewish can have genes that have nothing Jewish to them, maybe because they converted or for other reasons, and that would not in any way. And if somebody's in our community, they're Jewish, their parents are Jewish, they married nationals, they worship, etc., nobody will ever go challenge them and say, go be tested. On the other hand, when somebody's Jewishness is in question and they're unable to prove that.
Right, so that's when it becomes useful.
We need to actually applaud the fact that today's rabbis are progressive enough to understand that we can rely on technology to assist us in determining Jewishness. And I think this is something that should be embraced and applauded rather than decried, and as has been in this particular article.
Very, very interesting, and it's a conversation I have no doubt that could be the subject of a full hour show, not a couple of minutes interview. But either way, very interesting, and thank you for taking the time to speak to us and give us some context around this. Rabbi Yossi Chaikin, Rabbi of the Oxford Center, Chairman of the South African Rabbinical Association, talking to us what it means to be genetically Jewish. It's just gone 7:30. I'm Howard Feldman. A very good morning.